Mayor Buddy Cianci was one of those political figures that writers dream of. First, there was the toupee. He never went out without it. Then there were the quips, always a one-liner at the ready. He had a huge vision for his beloved Providence. Under his administration, the city underwent an urban revival in the 1990s and tried to dump its mob image. But there was a problem. Cianci was also on the take. And now, after a massive FBI investigation, he is in a federal penitentiary convicted of corruption. Buddy Cianci has proved irresistible fodder for at least two writers. Journalist Mike Stanton has just published a biography of Cianci, and playwright Jonathan Van Giesen wrote a musical about Cianci that's finishing up its run this weekend in New York. I spoke recently with both of them. Mike, you write that Buddy Cianci was equal parts visionary, cheerleader, rogue, and lounge singer.
Mm-hmm.
That's quite a description. What do you mean by that?
Well, he was everything to everybody in Providence. He was part Huey Long, part Tony Soprano, and he was a great entertainer. He walked across the stage of Providence for three decades. He had this tempestuous love affair with the city, reflected in some of his own chaotic romances, and he had a larger-than-life persona in this stranger-than-fiction city, and his reach really did extend far beyond Providence. Some said that he could have been our first Italian-American president. He had those political gifts.
So he enjoys about 10 years of being the mayor of Providence, and then in 1984, he does something really strange. He assaults the supposed lover of his ex-wife.
I call it in the Nightmare on Power Street, which is fittingly his address. One dark, stormy night, he summons this man to his house. His police driver is standing by with his gun in his holster. A couple of other city officials are there, sort of as a Greek chorus. And over the next 3 hours, he proceeds to kick, beat, slap, punch, throw liquor on the man's face. At one point, stabs a lit cigarette in his eye. The man moves, singes his eyebrow, throws an ashtray at him that misses, tries to club him with a fireplace log. At that point, the public works director intervened and deflects the blow. And, you know, tells the man that if you don't pay me $500,000, the cost of his divorce, then you'll be dead.
D-E-D.
Is that apocryphal? Did he really say D-E-D?
He did. It was underscored a couple of times by grand jury testimony. Yeah.
So for you, Jonathan, mm-hmm. an ideal character for a musical.
Oh, yeah. Take some of his quotes and you've pretty much got a song right there. I started with a basic knowledge of the tale and thought as I researched it that there would be less to it than it seemed, that the press would have blown it out of proportion. But in fact, no, it's more interesting than even I think you could possibly fit into a musical or a book.
Yeah, I mean, when I set out to write this book, I envisioned it as Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil meets Goodfellas. And just as an example of that, one night when he was campaigning in one close election and he needed the Jewish vote on the east side, and he woke up a campaign aide at home Saturday night and said, "Hey, let's go to the Philharmonic." And the guy says, "Well, I didn't know you liked classical music." He goes, "No, but I want to be seen by the Jews." And he goes to the Philharmonic and he's fallen asleep in his box during the concert. And then in intermission, he, you know, pops up like the Energizer Buddy and he's out there pumping hands of Jewish community leaders.
So, Jonathan, you used a lot of his one-liners for your songs.
I did. The most prominent of which, of course, is the one that came up in the trial in regards to the University Club. The University Club has had some variances blocked. They're trying to renovate the club. And the president comes into his office, and Buddy reminded the University Club president that he had applied to the club 20 years ago, and that his application was not only rejected, but they had never even told him about it. And the setup is, you want to renovate your clubhouse and make it nice inside. Well, I wonder how you'll do it with your permits all denied. You were mean, you were arrogant, you were rude. It's been over 20 years, but now you're finally screwed. So long, see you later. There's only one thing left to say. The toe you stepped on yesterday, it just might be connected to the ass you have to kiss today.
And that could pass as a proverb for Providence.
So, during the 1990s, Cianci was widely credited as engineering Providence's comeback, or the mm-hmm. renaissance, as people call it, of Providence. Is that an accurate description, or is there something behind that that we're not seeing?
Well, he came back in 1990 and presided over the Providence Renaissance and seemed to have made the most of his second chance until the corruption once again dragged him down and the FBI came to town. The nation's foremost public corruption expert, yeah, came back to town and the dance began again. And I think the judge had the fitting epitaph for him when he sentenced him to prison and he said, you know, you're two people. You're Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. And of course, Cianci, being Cianci, had the ultimate comeback in private later. He said, well, he called me Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, the expletive deleted. Well, then why didn't he give me two effing paychecks?
Mike Stanton is the author of the new book, The Prince of Providence, The Life and Times of Buddy Cianci. Jonathan Van Giesen wrote Buddy the Musical, which is on at the New York Fringe Festival this weekend. And as for Cianci, he may not be out of prison for another 5 years. He's legally barred from running for office again, but that doesn't mean he isn't planning some kind of comeback.